The government security clearance and suitability process is long, confusing, and back on the Government Accountability Office's latest high-risk list. You knew the first two, but maybe not the third. It's even more complicated at the Homeland Security Department, where each component has different standards to vet potential contractor employees. People at those contractors say it's a sticky issue, but there are a few relatively simple things DHS could do now to improve. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco.
Few would argue the government-wide security clearance and vetting process has its problems. And not one agency or no one person is going to have all the answers. But it's especially confusing, long, and redundant at the Homeland Security Department. Members of industry say the least the department could do is standardize and simplify the requirements it uses to judge whether contractors are fit to work for the agency. Mark Pearl is the president and CEO of the Homeland Security and Defense Business Council.
We want them standardized. We want to understand a sense of consistency. A couple of examples. Drugs is one example. Some agencies don't care. Some agencies may say within the last 3 years, within the last 10 years. That's not necessarily just a security clearance uniform approach. So different components approach that question. They approach bad debt differently. Some don't even allow the asking of the question. Some set it at 3,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. All they have to do is justify it.
Pearl isn't alone. Other big industry groups say that DHS leadership can and should agree to common suitability standards across the department. The question is how to get it done. Congressman Luis Correa is the ranking member of the House Homeland Security Oversight and Management Efficiency Subcommittee.
Does the secretary have a magic wand? Or do we need legislation to move this forward? And as I look at all of you here, you're going to give me an answer, but I guess the person we've got to ask is the Secretary of DHS. What is it exactly that you need to implement these, you know, policies of efficiency?
Industry groups say they didn't see any statutory or regulatory barriers that would prevent the secretary from waving a magic wand and issuing common standards across all DHS subcomponents. Charlie Allen is a senior intelligence advisor for the Intelligence and National Security Alliance. He's also a former Undersecretary of Intelligence and Analysis for DHS.
If the department cannot make the decisions, then I think legislation will be required. There is really no reason, though, this decision could be made, it strikes me, by the secretary, that if a contractor and we have thousands of them who have some level of clearances. If they have a secret or top secret clearance, they do not need a separate fitness. That's number one. You don't need a separate fitness report. There's got to be uniformity across the department.
At the end of the day, deciding which contractor personnel to trust and possibly hand over a security clearance to, well, that's a big decision. David Berteau is the president and CEO of the Professional Services Council.
In the end, judgment implies some level of acceptance of risk because you're not going to be right 100.0% of the time. So I think where the leadership comes into play is not only giving the guidance, reporting the data, but given the coverage that says it's okay to use judgment in a way that doesn't – you minimize risk by taking forever to do it. If you never say yes, then you're never in trouble for having said yes to the wrong person. The secretary and the officials underneath the secretary need to provide the coverage that says it's okay to make a decision. Mm. What you see all too often is maybe there's something suspicious out here. Well, maybe if we sit on it a while, the guy will quit and he'll withdraw his name and they won't know you need to finish that.
Excellent point.
Let him exercise that risk in a way, because ultimately it's where is the government putting its trust. That's an important decision, but it's not one that should take forever.
But there are several problems with the current DHS vetting system, and some of them have been building over time throughout DHS's short history. Here's Alan.
In my view, you're living with a tradition and a culture. Many of these components go back decades. Customs goes back to the beginning of our country. But there's a lot of history and culture and a way of separateness. It gets to when I worked for Secretary Chertoff, his top priority was keep terrorists out of the country, keep dangerous materials out of the country, and thirdly, integrate the department.
Here are the problems with the current system. First, each component has its own personnel security office with its own adjudicators, procedures, and standards to determine who's acceptable to work at DHS. For example, a contractor who got a favorable fitness assessment from the Transportation Security Administration can't simply pick up and move to a new contract with another subcomponent, like Customs and Border Protection. CBP has its own standards, and the same contractor would have to go through another suitability test in order to start work on a new contract. Contractors are also unclear about how each DHS component applies those standards. They don't know where their employees are in the vetting process, and they have no idea if the people they're submitting to work on agency projects are meeting agencies' needs. Plus, the process itself is long. Companies can wait anywhere from 3 to 15 months for their employees to get a fitness assessment. Here's Pearl.
Even if you have a process that is broken, even if you have a process where, you know, where things are going on for a long time, at least communicate with the contractor. At least along the timeline, stay in touch. Check in.
That uncertainty is tough for contractors. It means companies get forced to offer prospective candidates conditional offers of employment for one position, multiple times. Pearl says contractors often build in the extra time and money that it'll take to hire several people. That all goes into the rates and pricing models they give customer agencies. And it's an extra cost that the government takes on. Industry says, though, none of these challenges need to exist. Here's Berteau.
We hire contractors for many, many reasons. And one of the reasons that we like to use contractors is because of the flexibility that contracting provides you. Once you've got a government career civil servant, that's the job they're in. With contractors, you at least theoretically have the ability to move to where the need is and to be able to go back and forth. The department is actually working against its own interests by making it more difficult to do that with the contractors that they have in place.
But DHS doesn't own all of the challenges with the current vetting and security clearance process on its own. Here's Berteau again.
We need to recognize that every day there are thousands of people who get up in the Department of Homeland Security and come to work and do the absolute best they can. Some of those people are on the government payroll. Some of those people work for contractors. They do their best to get their jobs done. And I think they deserve a better system to support them. And that's really what I think this committee can do to help. And I think it's important to recognize that.
In Washington, Nicole Ogrisco, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Check out Nicole's story at FederalNewsRadio.com.